Chicago radio legend Steve Dahl deserves some blame for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The podcast that licks its pencil point before ciphering. He can't tell the Twin Cities apart. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another beautiful Arizona day and another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I don't know which one I'm enjoying more. Let's start with the podcast and see how that goes. The podcast is here to help you feel more confident in your encounter with Medicare, whenever that may occur. And the way that I encourage people to become more confident about Medicare is to encourage them to purchase my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. You can get a paperback copy at barnesandnoble.com, or you can get one of four different editions at amazon.com. You may get the paperback, which is the workhorse of the whole fleet, as it were. You may get the Audible, where you can listen to the words of wisdom that come about Medicare. They come right from the speaker to your brain, and they're absorbed very readily, I'm sure. We have the Kindle version, the ebook reader that will be sent to your device instantly when you push the button that tells them you want to charge your credit card. And then, of course, finally, we have that massive and yet so beautiful hardcover version of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. That's a $24 item, but there are people who swear by it. They say it's well worth it. The durability, the quality of craftsmanship, the physical beauty of that little item is well worth the $24 and probably fairly hefty shipping charge as well, since they ship by the hundred weight. In any event, so one of those books will help you become a very confident consumer of Medicare. It contains my contact information. If you decide it's time to enroll in Medicare and you would like some advice from me, or you would like me to act as your insurance agent, I would love to do that. I make a few bucks. You don't have to pay me a darn thing. But in the meantime, you'll have the confidence that you've gained from the book. You'll have the excellent service that you'll gain from me, the Medicare for the Lazy Man, and you will cross that Medicare threshold in victory. And it will be a beautiful experience for you. So buy the book and then get in touch with me, and we will make everything happen that you're looking for. In the meantime, I want to make Randy happen today. Randy Carson is one of the finest technical advisors anyone could have. And he, in between podcast recordings, he regales me with the tales of his clients, both new and old, both high profile and quiet behind the scenes kind of businesses. And I always enjoy hearing those stories. Randy, good to see you again today.
Well, it's good to be seen. Thanks, Doug. I was just curious, you're wearing a Gas Guzzlers t-shirt, and that's my kind of vehicle, I'm telling you.
Yes, I like to guzzle gas. That's for darn sure.
I know. It's just one of the things, we grew up doing. And ultimately, I don't think I'm ever going to have any sort of a hybrid. I mean, obviously my wife drives a hybrid, but
yes,
you're never going to catch me buying a hybrid.
Well, the only hybrid I enjoy was the one, actually it was the fleet at the golf course that I told you about earlier. We had a golf course in Illinois. The family named Peterson were right down the road from us, and they had a farm that was exactly a square mile. At some point, they sold that farm because the son, the guy who was my age or a little older, was a math whiz or something, and he didn't want to be a farmer. He wanted to go off and do something else. So the family sold it to a golf course developer, and the family name of this developer was McCardle, and I knew about them because they had a golf course on the other side of town, probably 5 or 6 miles, maybe 7 miles away. So we, the neighbors and we, became concerned that out in our very pristine rural area, this golf course was going to lead to another resort with all kinds of traffic, and it would just remove the rural nicety, the rural personality of our area, which was old growth oak forests and stuff like that. So the golf course was built where the farm had been, and then the clubhouse was built. And after that, the neighbors managed to stop any further development. So the golf course was there with no advertising. Nobody knew it was there except locals. And we could go over there without calling ahead, without reserving a tee time, and just play that course anytime we wanted to. But I was telling Randy, the fun part was the carts were the fastest carts I've ever seen in my life. They had gasoline powered engines. The cart would start when you pressed the accelerator. The electric motor would move the cart forward, you know, fairly handsomely, but at the same time, it would spin the starter on the gasoline engine. And when that gasoline engine caught zoom, you were in hyperdrive, and it was all kinds of fun to rush around on that course with those gasoline powered carts. And it was a good thing we had them too, because it was a pretty long course. It was, you know, that square mile is the same size as Midway International Airport in Chicago, and where they land jets and stuff. So that was the most fun part. I was explaining to Randy that I had one good shot one day, and that kept me coming back for years. He doesn't understand the allure of playing a game of golf, and I frankly don't know either.
I understand that some people are just absolutely addicted to it. And one time I was talking to one of the guys I worked with at the bank. He was senior VP or some sort of VP. And I said, I think I'm going to take up golf. I had recently won a set of golf clubs. Wow. Now, I have no idea whether they were good clubs, bad clubs, or I don't know anything about the clubs. But I had won them at a conference, throw your business card in a fishbowl. And I got these golf clubs, shipped to me by FedEx or some freaking thing. And I said, I think I'm going to take up golf, because, everybody in my life, I'm going to go out, shoot around. Well,
yep.
So I needed to figure out what the allure was. And I went and I said, what do you think about me taking up golf? And he said, don't do it.
Wow. That's kind of scary. That is very scary.
He said, once you take up golf, if and when it gets into your bloodstream.
Yeah.
It's literally a drug.
Well, you know that my mother's father was the foundation of the family insurance wealth, or the insurance businesses. In fact, my daughter is going to be generation number 4. In any event, he loved golf. It got into his bloodstream like you were describing. It was something he was hooked on as much as any other drug that one could take. So he lived in downtown Chicago. Well, he first lived in Evanston in the penthouse. He lived in one of the two penthouses at the Edgewater Beach Hotel. Old timers in Chicago will remember that magnificent place. It was torn down later. He moved down to a Lakeshore Drive apartment right across from the Drake Hotel, right around the corner from the Drake Hotel. But that wasn't good enough. That enabled him to found his business in Chicago and get it up and running and doing very well. And then his summer home was in the manager's apartment of the Glenview Club, which is on Route 58 in Gulf, Illinois. They Gulf? Named the town after Gulf,
seriously?
Illinois.
I never heard of it.
Gulf got its own.
So what do you suppose they like there? The golf. What would that be?
That's what it is. They're chasing little white balls around all over the place.
Yeah,
and it is a beautiful club. And like I said, he lived in the manager's apartment. Played all the. He was a big tipper, so all of the caddies knew him by name and were so. I mean, when he showed up, they rushed to be his caddy for that round. And so the whole thing is, that wasn't enough, because Illinois still had wintertime and he had to live in his Lakeshore Drive apartment. So what did he do? He decided Arizona was going to be his winter home. And when I was a little kid, I got to come out here for a couple of months every winter when I was in second, third grade, and stayed at the Jokaki Inn, which is now the location of the Phoenician on Camelback Road. Yeah. And all my grandfather did was found his two businesses in Arizona that were twins, mirror images of the ones he had in Illinois, plus play golf. And boy, did he play some golf.
Now, this was also the gentleman that you showed me, like a, was it a Time cover or a Life cover?
It was a Saturday Evening Post cover.
Saturday,
playing
neither,
him playing
neither
golf.
One of those. Yeah, and oh, by the way, where were they? They were on a golf course.
In Arizona. The artist couldn't believe what Arizona golf courses looked like, so he drew in some elm trees that don't belong there, and that was on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post.
Oh, so he, that artist just didn't think he was going to be believable if there was, if you showed it in reality the way it is.
Yeah, you'd think he could put in a couple of beautiful saguaro cactuses or something like that, but no, this had to be elm trees. But yes, it was my grandfather playing.
There's not an elm tree in the state, is there,
well,
Doug?
There is on the cover of that magazine. But my grandfather was sitting there or standing there watching a guy who was getting more and more frazzled try to dig his way out of a sand trap. It was obvious that he was at his wit's end, and he was the chairman of the board of Borg Warner, and there were two or three other people in the foursome, and the artist described it as the most expensive foursome anybody had ever assembled for a golf picture. And
so this foursome was actually that was the one your grandpa was with on the cover, yeah,
on that day, right.
Yeah. So the guy from Borg Warner couldn't dig himself out of a sand trap.
His hair was all fly away. He was hacking away at that sand, trying to get his ball to come out and hit the green without rolling over it. And the other guys were just kind of watching him. And the caddy was the owner of the resort. He was standing there with two bags on his shoulders, and he was the owner of the resort. That's who they had for a caddy.
You know, when you're the owner of the resort, and what was the name of the resort in?
Well, I'm not sure they were playing at the Jokaki. Could have been the Riding Rock. They might not have had a golf course. It could have been the Casablanca. There were a couple of, it was that whole area, which is now all urban, was full of ranches and dude ranches and resorts. And so I don't know which Mountain Shadows. I don't know which of the resorts they were playing on. I don't have the article in front of me, so I can't tell you for sure.
You know, that's a great piece of information. We need to look into that, because if you have the owner of a resort in Phoenix, Arizona, or thereabouts, caddying for you,
yeah,
and you're standing by a sand trap that the president of Borg Warner is trying to dig himself out of as part of your foursome, that's an unusual picture, Doug.
It is unusual, and I've got about six or eight of the actual magazines. It was issued in the summer of the year I was born, so 1948. But enough about me, and enough about Farrell Bean.
Guess what we need to do now?
We need to get down to it.
We need to get her done and make some money.
Let's do that. I want to give the listeners a little preview of what we have coming up. I don't know if we're going to get to it today, because Randy and I get to yakking, and we burn up way too much time, and I want to keep the length of these episodes fairly under control. But some of these articles that we're going to be addressing over the next few episodes, I want to spread them out a little bit, because I don't want anybody to accuse us of being one-trick ponies. But I get some excellent material from the clientele, including a Mr. Young, who I won't identify further. But here are the articles that you can expect to hear about in this episode, if we have time, and coming episodes. Headlines only. I'm going to read the headlines. Medicare Advantage plans are going to see 2025 base pay fall. They're going to be making less money from the government, which is a good thing for the taxpayers, let me tell you, and for the potential victims of Medicare Advantage plans. Here's another headline. New Medicare Advantage cuts threaten seniors' benefits. Another headline. This hospital CEO is done playing nice with Medicare Advantage. Boy, so apparently this hospital CEO has had it with Medicare Advantage, and he's not going to be polite to them anymore. The next article after that in the stack, insurers brace for continued Medicare Advantage medical costs. Hospitals' Medicare Advantage problem hits an inflection point. Another headline, why some Medicare Advantage plans will get skimpier and costlier. So I say we've got some pretty cool content coming up, as regards Medicare Advantage. And I want to use this as a warning for people that may not have accepted the fact that Medicare Advantage is going to be problematic, and it's going to be likely to disappoint down the road. I don't want to sell any products to people that are going to be caught with their pants down, so to speak. I would rather sell products that are guaranteed by law to be with them for the rest of their lives. And that, my friends, is Medicare supplement. So here's a little blurb, a little article that the content curator shoved in front of me. Doesn't have anything to do with Medicare Advantage. The title of this one is Commercially Available Alzheimer's Blood Test Could Help Early Diagnosis. Quest Diagnostics, and I never heard of them until I got out here, but apparently they're all over parts of the country. Quest Diagnostics has introduced the AD Detect test for Alzheimer's disease, a blood-based biomarker test available for purchase by consumers. The new test allows individuals to gauge their risk of developing Alzheimer's disease by measuring beta amyloid protein, a key indicator of the condition. Blood tests have the potential to enhance the accuracy and convenience of diagnosing and tracking Alzheimer's disease. With more than 6 million Americans currently affected by the disease, the number is projected to rise to 13 million by 2050. Early detection and intervention are crucial. Ooh, boy, I see that it's time for our advertisements. And the reason I love our advertisers is because they're collecting money to send us for our big Christmas party. Now, the fact that our Christmas party is 8 months away only heightens my anticipation. So I'm going to fall silent and allow everybody to listen to our commercials, and then I'll be back. All righty, we're back. I'm hoping that you enjoyed those commercials as much as I do, because all I think about is our big Christmas party they're going to finance. Current diagnostic methods for Alzheimer's disease, such as MRI scans, cognitive tests, and physical examinations, have limitations due to their need for specialized clinics and trained staff. However, Quest's AD Detect test is a much more accessible alternative, particularly beneficial for those experiencing cognitive decline, exhibiting mild cognitive impairment symptoms, or with a family history of Alzheimer's. Questhealth.com is where you go to find this thing, QUESTHEALTH.com. That's the starting point for evaluating the risk of Alzheimer's. This new consumer-initiated test utilizes the same expertise and technology as Quest Diagnostics' clinical AD Detect amyloid beta 42-40 ratio test, an analytically validated blood test that aids in assessing the risk of Alzheimer's disease, which we launched for physician ordering early in 2022. Specifically, the test measures two peptides of the amyloid beta protein, A-beta 42 and A-beta 40, to arrive at a ratio score. So the question remains, how do you access the new blood test? That test is... It's a test that consumers can initiate, but must be ordered and overseen by a physician. A network of independent physicians manages the test ordering and the result delivery process. After purchasing the test online, individuals need to schedule an appointment at a Quest Diagnostics Patient Service Center for a blood draw. According to the company website, the test itself is priced at $400, to which a $13 physician service fee is added. Test results are accessible through a secure patient portal and are presented in a clear, easily understood report. Individuals can discuss results with a licensed physician to gain insight into their implications and plan for ongoing care. This may involve a follow-up with a regular physician or a specialist. Individuals with results indicating a potential of Alzheimer's disease will be contacted by a physician from the independent network. The test is for individuals who meet certain criteria, including family history of Alzheimer's, evidence of mild cognitive impairment, or prior brain trauma or head injury. In addition, prior to purchase of the service online, a pop-up box appears that an individual must check on digitally to acknowledge that they meet one of several specified risk factors. If they don't click the box, they can't purchase the test. The test is a starting point for evaluating the risk of Alzheimer's. It's not a definitive diagnostic tool. And Quest Diagnostics encourages individuals who are concerned about their risk to confer with their healthcare provider. Early detection can help encourage the necessary discussions with a healthcare provider. What do other experts think of this test? Well, this, I think the content curator could have highlighted it a little bit more. Other experts, here's a doctor, a biotechnology company. He's a CEO of a biotechnology company that aims to use elements of this system, the immune system, to fight cancer and Alzheimer's disease. He spoke to this publication about the pros and cons of a blood test focusing on detecting beta amyloid. He noted that almost half the people with normal cognition die with amyloid in their brains, and all patients with Alzheimer's disease have amyloid in their brains. So this disconnect means that many people with positive blood tests will not have Alzheimer's disease, he cautioned. That is, the sensitivity of the test is the ability to test to prove you have amyloid. It does not prove that you have Alzheimer's disease. Still, I consider this issue a headache more than a problem. As to why this newly commercially available blood test could be an important step forward, he commented, most people won't get the test unless they have problems with memory. If the result is positive and it inspires them to be evaluated by a clinical team that can formalize the diagnosis to allow for early treatment, then it will be a big, big win for the patient, the family, and the payers. So that holds some promise for the future, although not entirely indicative of the risk of getting Alzheimer's, but any steps, even baby steps in that direction, I think would be very helpful. Savvy Senior. We've heard from the Savvy Senior offering advice after people have written to the Savvy Senior in Oklahoma City questioning certain aspects of Medicare and drug plans. The Savvy Senior is answering a question, how do I pay for long-term care insurance without, or long-term care, excuse me, how do I pay for long-term care without special insurance or savings? That's the headline. Dear Savvy Senior, what types of financial resources are available to help seniors pay for long-term care? My 86-year-old mother will need either an assisted living facility or a nursing home to care for her in the future, but she doesn't have long-term care insurance and her savings are minimal. This is signed Searching Daughter. So the Savvy Senior says, dear Searching, the cost of assisted living and nursing home care in the U.S. is very expensive. According to Genworth, that's an insurance company, the cost of care survey tool that they have, the national median cost for an assisted living facility today is over $4,600 per month, while nursing home care runs to more than $8,100 per month for a semi-private room. Most people pay for long-term care, which encompasses assisted living, nursing home, and in-home care, with either personal funds, government programs, or insurance. But if your mother is lacking in savings and has no long-term care insurance to cover her costs, here are your best options to look for funding. First is Medicaid, and then in parentheses it says this is not Medicare, but Medicaid. That's welfare provided by the state, funded by the feds for the most part, provided by the state that you're in. It's a Medicaid program. In Arizona, it's spelled ACCHHSS. It's called Access. In California, it's Medi-Cal, but whatever it's called in your state, it's a Medicaid program. The first thing you need to know is that Medicare, the government health insurance program for seniors age 65 and older, and those with disabilities, does not cover long-term care. It only provides a very limited short-term coverage up to 100 days for skilled nursing or rehabilitation services after a three-day hospital stay. That's very important. That three-day hospital stay triggers the 100 days of nursing home care. Otherwise, you're not eligible for that benefit. Medicaid, however, the joint federal-state program that covers health care for the poor, does cover nursing home and in-home care. But to be eligible for coverage, your mother must be very low income, her accountable assets cannot be more than $2,000, including investments. Note that most people who enter a nursing home don't qualify for Medicaid at first. They pay for care out of pocket until they deplete their savings enough to qualify. There are also many states that now have Medicaid waiver programs that can help pay for assisted living. To get more information on Medicaid coverage and eligibility, call your state Medicaid office. See Medicaid.gov. You also can check your mother's Medicaid eligibility at MedicaidPlanningAssistance.org. Veterans benefits. If your mother is a wartime veteran or a spouse or surviving spouse of a wartime veteran, there's a benefit called aid and attendance that can help pay towards her long-term care. To be eligible, she must need assistance with daily living activities like bathing, dressing, going to the bathroom, and her yearly income must be under $15,000 as a surviving spouse or $24,000 as a single veteran. After her medical and long-term care expenses, her assets must be less than $138,000, including her home, excluding her home and car. To learn more, go to va.gov/geriatrics. Life insurance. If your mother has a life insurance policy, find out if it offers an accelerated death benefit that would allow her to get a tax-free advance to help pay for her care. That's unlikely to be available because those things just started becoming available in the last 10 or 20 years, but it's worth asking the question. And for those who would like to buy long-term care insurance, it's a less expensive alternative to purchase life insurance with a long-term care rider that allows for accelerated settlement of a claim. In other words, instead of dying, if you need long-term care, you can turn the life insurance policy into long-term care insurance. And that is one way that people are funding their long-term care needs with a life insurance policy. And then the article goes on to consider selling her policy to a life insurance settlement company. These are companies that buy life insurance policies for cash, continue to pay the premiums, and collect the death benefit when she dies. Most sellers get 4 to 8 times more than the policy cash surrender value. If she owns a policy with a face value of $100,000 or more and is interested in this option, get quotes from several brokers or life settlement providers. To locate some, use the Life Insurance Settlement Association member directory at lisa.org. To look for these and other programs in your area that can help pay your mom's long-term care, go to payingforseniorcare.com and click on Finding Financial Assistance for Care. Well, I'm hoping this is helpful, but it's still a matter of scrounging for as much money as you need to fund the long-term care needs, and that's a painful problem for a lot of people. I'm fortunate that my parents never needed to use that, and the welfare and the Medicaid and all that, and the same with Mary's parents. But for other people, that sometimes the life goes on too long. The assets are they're considered expendable, and they eventually are used in the care and treatment, and you wind up on Medicaid. I mean, okay, I'm so excited. I'm looking at one of our Medicare Advantage articles. I believe we've got some fun ahead of us. So this is a little short one that was on top of the pile, and I want to share it with you. Medicare Advantage plans are going to see a 2025 base pay decrease. The Biden administration, oh yeah, Joe Biden's right on top of things. The administration on Monday followed through on its proposal to cut next year's base payments to Medicare Advantage plans an average of 0.16%. despite pressure from insurers and their allies in Congress. Why it matters? While the plans will wind up seeing a net increase once payments are risk-adjusted to account for the health of their customers, the news sent shares of UnitedHealthcare, CVS Health, Humana, and Centene falling amid predictions of continued financial pressure. The state of play, the base pay decrease, stems from the continued phase-in of controversial changes to the risk adjustment coding system that the Biden administration started last year to make Medicare Advantage payments more accurate. Consumers get more money if their enrollees have more documented health issues, and the policy changes aim to stop abuses of the system. But the health plans maintain that's akin to cutting seniors' benefits. The plans are expected to see an average of 3.7%, or $16 billion increase in payments once risk scores are factored in. More than half of Medicare enrollees now get their coverage from Medicare Advantage plans, which experts say are overpaid and cost taxpayers tens of billions of dollars more than they should. The industry suggested this winter that benefits could be cut if the government, didn't improve the rates over the initial plan. These policies will put even more pressure on the benefits and the premiums of 33 million Medicare Advantage beneficiaries who will be renewing their coverage this fall. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of talk about, instead of increasing the profit potential of Medicare Advantage plans, what we're going to be seeing is a trimming of the profit potential. They'll be making more money than they did last year and all previous years, but not as much more as they wanted to make. So they're all screaming like stuck pigs. And frankly, they're threatening to reduce the benefits and make it even more difficult for their members to attain or to achieve the treatment that regular Medicare, original Medicare patients can enjoy right now. So that, fortunately, we have a solution for that. People moving into Medicare for the first time, if they make the right choice and purchase a Medicare supplement plan instead of a Medicare Advantage plan, they're going to be well protected in the future. Randy, I think this is about it for today. What do you think? You want to hear more bad news for Medicare Advantage plans?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that stuff.
We got a whole, we got a whole pile of it here. I'm ready to go, but I think we should save it for next time.
Anytime I can hear anything questionable, crooked, shady. Oh, how many other adjectives should I use?
Well, you're just making up new adjectives all the time.
I know.
Medicrap.
Died before approval.
Yeah, that's died one. After.
Died after denial.
Yeah, there you go.
And here's what, I don't know if I brought this one up. AI, you know what AI means, right?
Well, I know what it used to mean. What are you going to say it means?
Well, it's really, what it really means is artificial insurance. That's what it means as related to Medicare Advantage plans.
Yep, and that would be accurate. It's not really insurance if they refuse to provide the treatment that you need, and then when you complain about it, as only a few of them do, then they cave in and give you that treatment.
You know what we call that back in the Midwest on the beat ranch I grew up on?
I don't know.
Scam.
That's scam. There you go. Scam Vantage.
You got that right. Or the other thing we would have called that is a crapshoot. Oh, but other than that.
Well, I'd say both of those are real accurate.
So we need to go ahead and land the plane. The 75-cent clock has run out. But before we do, grab your pencil. You're going to need this email address, dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We would also appreciate it if you could find a place to drop a couple reviews for us. It's all about the numbers in the podcasting business. And if you can help us out, we would thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And speaking of thank you for joining us. You could have been a number of different places and you weren't. You were with us listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, which is exactly where we like to have you. But I'm sure you were not watching your watch while this was going on. And ultimately, you have spent a little bit over 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. No more. He's living up in the high ground behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I'm going to be nice for those of you who are not in the 80-degree weather. We're coming in on 80 today. I don't know where Doug's at up in the high ground, but it's warm down here. And I'm going to say, I'm going to put him in at about, 7,200 feet.
7,200 is an improvement over the last time, so I will take it. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming to our little soiree. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.